It's your old pal Tom. Got some big news, but let's get the big guy to help me out.
Get ready.
Playtime is over, little girl.
Starting March 17th, Toonami's got the new deal.
Let's do it.
New Tom. New Absolution. New shows. Same old goodness. The battle begins with G Gundam at 5.
I've seen that technique.
5:30. All new Dragon Ball Z.
What I represent can never be destroyed.
6. The Spirit Detective Yu Yu Hakusho. And at 6:30, the premiere of The Wandering Samurai, Rurouni Kenshin.
And so the true battle finally begins.
Ooh, it's so sweet.
He always makes it sound so good. Hey, don't forget to log on to Toonami.com and check the exclusive online comic and find out how I got this new look. It's a bit of a tale. See you March 17th.
Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, March 24th JumpCast, the only manga podcast to speedrun for charity. I'm your host, Imran Khan, and with me this week are former host Mike Lemieux and a very sick Greg Jan.
Gentlemen.
Never leave again.
It worked out really well.
Yeah, it went pretty well. Then again, I think that he just doesn't want to have to deal with the editing again.
It'll be easier next time. I've literally never edited any audio in my life before.
I was very amused when I heard the stinger and Robin admitted to playing Diablo 3 during the podcast. I was like, oh, that's what that clicking is.
I didn't notice. Did he keep playing it?
Yeah, I assumed he kept playing. I didn't notice the clicking myself,
I think, though. He stopped around the JoJo dock, which was interesting and also made me kind of want to read JoJo. But then somebody said, like, 20 years of consistent issues. And I was like, no, I never want to read JoJo.
You just want to read JoJo for the rest of your life.
I mean, if I started now, but at the time I caught up, I'd probably be close to dead. Somewhere along that line.
That's always true. You're always closer to death than when you started.
True. Speaking of which, Bleach. Where was Ichigo for, like, that entire chapter?
Okay, forget Ichigo. Where is Urahara? Like, he has just completely vanished.
I don't know.
Didn't
where
he
anybody
run off and start to look for something or other?
I don't know. The most amusing part of this chapter to me is on the very first page, the dead girl gets a reaction shot. Like, yep, still dead. Okay, I know you guys are not going to like this chapter, but I like this chapter.
I mean, it's like, I remember 2 weeks ago I said if the next chapter ends with Ichigo releasing Bankai and then the chapter ends, then it's moving too slow. And somehow they made it even slower than that.
No, he released Bankai.
No, I meant for last week.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, last week nothing happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's going much slower than I would have thought already.
This is the chapter we should have had last week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why we had that other stuff. So,
the character design.
Before that,
yeah. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, not a whole lot happens. The monster attacks the dude. The guy uses his Ryotsu absorbing, and then kind of, I don't know, Kirby's the monster. He swallows it and gets its powers.
And looks like a holo now because Kubotite cannot draw different kinds of villains.
Hey, he looks awesome, I think.
He's just a big guy with a holo mask.
He doesn't even have a mask. He's just got, like, crazy teeth.
And he has eyes on his wings.
And a snake tail coming out of his back, because apparently that's where Japanese people think snake tails come from. The midsection somewhere.
The reason he looks like that is he took on the characteristics of what he absorbed.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the snake tail should be, like, lower. Where a tail would be.
That's what you mean by back.
Yes. Like, on his actual back.
Yes, tails come out of the back of things, not their asses.
Or stomachs.
So, you know, he then proceeds to try to absorb everyone else, and then Ichigo main characters him and stops the attack somehow.
Like, 15 pages in, Ichigo shows back up.
It's like, oh yeah, I guess I should be, you know, attacking this guy, shouldn't I?
Like that he waited until, like, Chad and Orihime's skin is getting ripped off by this guy before stepping in. Like, do you think
he has an excellent grasp of dramatic tension.
Do you think he's just, like, waiting, like, okay, now they're cowering before him. Not yet.
It's not like it takes him a long time to use the Bankai. In the last fight, he used it pretty much immediately.
Yeah, in most fights, he uses it pretty much immediately.
Except this time, it needed the suspense for some reason. It needed to fill up pages.
So then Ichigo pulls out of thin air that if he destroys the disc on the guy's head, it stops his attack. Which, what?
I took it more as if he destroys his head, then it would kill him. Yeah, but he says he can't do
if I break the disc on your head. Yeah. I don't know if that's just a weird translation, but... And then the last two pages, or three pages, the Quincy's start their attack, finally.
Late title card.
Bleach always has a late title card. They've had the chapter name on the last page sometimes.
Yeah, the Quincy's have arrived.
So yep. And it's obviously, you know, you're fighting against enemies that can absorb Raiatsu. Obviously, they're just going to come through the gates. You know, makes perfect sense.
Well, it's like, they're going to come through the front gate. Why? Because that's the only way in. It's like, oh. I also love the dramatic moment of, he's outside the soul shield membrane. No, he's already inside the membrane. And then, like, the guy's eyes bugging out. It's just...
Every time Soul Society has been attacked, they've just, you know, walked right in. You figure at this point they'll be used to it.
They didn't just walk right in when they first came in during the Soul Society arc. They had to do that entire canon thing, remember?
But these specific enemies walked right in not 2 days ago.
But they're on alert now. They had the gates up and that entire ceiling dome thing and everything like that, you know?
They walked right through.
They're all looking the same direction. I don't know why the fact that they're just like, oh, he's outside the membrane. Obviously, we have nothing to worry about.
I like how he told them to calm down. Like, yeah, this may be exactly what we were fearing 5 days early, but it's a membrane.
Oh,
nothing
the guy
through
that,
there.
One of the people that killed a captain level Shinigami with one attack is just standing right there. We're cool. There's nothing to get upset about. So,
people in Bleach fly now? Has that been a thing for a while?
Yeah, for a long time.
They've been able to fly outside of Soul Society. They came up with explanations as to why they were able to do it outside of Soul Society, and now I guess powerful people just kind of can inside of Soul Society too.
You'll love the reason, Imran, if you don't remember.
Go for it.
They're running around on spirit threads.
Oh my. That's very awful.
You know that Quincy thing of like the threads that you could pull out of the air of spirit energy? They're walking on those.
They couldn't have just said, like, spirit air or something?
I'm surprised they bothered to explain it at all. I mean, most shonen is just like, yep, we can fly now. That's how these things go.
They always explain it with, like, Raiatsu or Ki or Chi.
Yeah.
It would have worked just as easily with this.
But Kubo.
Yep.
So, since the guy in Hueco Mundo, when he absorbed the hollow this chapter, he took on its appearance... Do you think the same is going to be true when they inevitably absorb some of the Shinigami?
I think it's going to be when they absorb the Shinigami's Bankai. They're going to take on that form.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
That would be a good way of getting those characters back out.
Yeah. Kind of put those designs to use in the manga.
And the guy already does kind of look like a Zangetsu. What now?
What if it is Zangetsu? Dun dun dun. I'm just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that was a chapter. I mean, I feel like things happen, but they're not happening fast enough.
Welcome to Bleach.
I'm trying to believe your theory about this taking 2 years, Mike.
Yep.
Either it's going to be a very short arc that ends, like, soon. Or it's going to draw out as long as possible. I feel there's a decent middle ground here.
Given that this guy that Ichigo seems to be fighting is like the only Quincy in Hueco Mundo right now, I could see them heading right to Soul Society after this. So it might not be as long as it seems.
Yeah.
Well, no, they have to rescue that one Arinkar, remember?
Yeah, but everybody left. There might be like one guy guarding it.
That fight could take months.
Maybe years.
Yeah, everybody left Hueco Mundo when they invaded the Karakura town before, too. So, yeah. You know.
What was the longest Bleach fight? Because I'm sure somebody's done the actual math on this.
It's got to be Aizen, right? I mean, that Ichigo versus Aizen took a long time.
I don't know. I'm part of me wants to think it might have been one of the Grimjaw ones.
Like, how many issues do you feel like we're talking here?
Half dozen. Dozen. I don't. The second Grimjaw fight might seem longer because that, like, bled right into the Noitora fight, too. Like, those kind of happened together.
Yeah.
But hopefully this does not... Oh, I said it every week, that Bleach is going to actually start picking up the pace, but...
If you're including the stuff that happened inside of Ichigo, then Kenpachi might be.
Oh, because of the...
Oh, where he was on, like, the sideways building thing.
Fighting Hollow
Ichigo.
Yeah. I would say I would count that. That was actually a good fight, though.
Yeah, the Kenpachi thing. Despite how
maybe,
little sense
or maybe makes. Kenpachi versus Noitora. I seem to remember that dragging on.
That was just like, each person was like, I've killed you. No, you haven't. I've killed you. No, you haven't. I've killed you. Like, by the end of that, they both had like arms cut off and all kinds of crap.
So, final thoughts.
And then
on...
he won by using two hands.
Of course.
Okay. Final thoughts is, I think the absorbing technique is pretty cool, and I think it'll lead to some interesting fights when they start absorbing some of the Shinigami we know or their Bankai.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
I do like how this guy looks. A lot of people don't seem to like it, but...
The weird eyes...
I just think he looks kind of comical in that one frame.
I just like the monstrosity of it, you know, the, like, horrible, you know, reject of nature kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't get over the lopsided arms.
That's such a shonen... trope of like the guy who prizes his personal appearance is so vain, and then he's actually like a grotesque monster.
Yeah,
that it's no longer original. I feel.
Well, it's been used before within Bleach too.
Who was it used for?
Several times. Well, Yumichika thinks he's like super good looking and doesn't want to look bad. And I think there was an Arden car that was like that too. Oh,
yeah.
Zale of
Poro. They fought against one another.
Yeah. Zale of Poro talked about how, like, pretty he was, and then he was, like, a horrible monster.
So, yeah, that's... It's not interesting, except as it's like, hey, those shapes look really cool together.
They do look really cool together, though.
So, Beelzebub. Or should I say, Rice Boy.
Yes. Gohan-kun.
Am I wrong, or is this, like, Bobobo? Like, is that's what this is trying to imitate?
You know, now that you mention it...
Like, a lot of the characters look the same. But I'm not sure if that's just a gag manga look.
Yeah, I think it's just supposed to be, like, you know, low-quality gag manga art style kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically, Beel and Oga got tickets from Kuneda to go see a Rice Boy live show. Which, if you don't know...
Is totally not a date.
Totally not a date. But those kind of things are like the Sentai shows, like the Power Rangers, they would have live shows for kids where they would basically teach them how to buy action figures.
Yes, a person in a suit. Tell them the joys of buying merchandise.
Like, they need their help. Go... Because it's usually held in front of, like, toy stores or malls or things like
Wait.
That.
Do they seriously do that? Say, like, you need to save us and buy our toys.
Yes.
Wow.
They don't have the advertising for children laws that we do.
Yeah, now I'm imagining the Chin Pokemon episode of South Park.
I think most don't do it because it's, like, it would be bad taste. But, like, those live shows, all bets are off. So, yeah, Tojo is apparently starring as Rice Boy.
In another odd job.
Yeah, the titular hero. And they brought back that girl whose name I've forgotten that they haven't used in like 60 chapters.
Jizuka.
Right, his childhood friend in one of the Six Knights.
Yes.
Or the secretary of the Six Knights, one of the two.
His probably girlfriend.
They don't know yet, and I don't think Tojo understands the concept.
Just a person.
That seems to be a common ailment among this group.
Oh yeah, it must be terrible just having all these beautiful women fawn all over you.
And not understand what's going on.
I did like how she put it, of his brain is all muscle. There's no brain. It's all muscle in his head.
So Furuichi got a bit more screen time this week than he usually does.
Yes.
being inept at punching Oga.
Roundhouse kicking him.
No, he punched him in the face, I think. And Oga's like, that hurt. Oh, wait. No, it actually didn't. Like, it's not that he wasn't being sarcastic. He just realized, like, wait, that I expected that to hurt, and it doesn't. How strange.
Yeah, when you get punched in the face, your first reaction is, how?
And so Furuichi tries to explain to him that Kunaida is asking him out. And Kunaida gets delightfully flustered, I guess. And tries to explain away that, no, it's not actually a date. And at some point, she just slams Furuichi to the ground.
Face yes. first, yes.
So they go on the date and happen to meet up with pretty much everyone in the manga.
Of course.
We're also there for the Rice Boy show.
Like Futaba and Kanzuki, Tojo, and girl whose name I've already forgotten.
Shizuka.
And Beale is not completely naked.
Well, they put a head on him, and they just couldn't get any clothes on him.
Yep.
So, at some point, Beale and, crap, what was his name? Taco? Not Taco. It's in here somewhere, but damn if I remember.
Kota,
yeah. They were playing on the street, and I guess it was some actors or some jerk-ass kids tried to...
Those are Shizuka's brothers, I think. If I would have to guess.
That was my guess as well.
Because they refer to Tojo as Tora, which is what she calls him.
So they knock over Beale.
Which really, like, he's one, and that kid looks like he's 10. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah. And so Beale starts to cry. Oga tells him not to cry, and Beale responds by electrifying everybody.
Including some actors that are nearby.
Yeah.
Seems like a rational response.
It is for Beale.
Yeah.
And it's basically how Oga raises him. As long as he doesn't cry, it doesn't matter what he does.
I love that they're like getting yelled at for the actors getting electrocuted, and Oga's just looking at Beale going, good job, you didn't cry.
So yeah, they're in the trailer with the manager, who's saying that they can't put on the show unless they get actors, which, as manga dictates, has to now be Oga and Kunaida.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tojo all but volunteers them by the end of the chapter.
And Oga is totally going to be the villain and is not going to understand that he's supposed to lose and he's going to win.
Yeah, I totally expect this to be an actual brawl between the two of them on stage.
Like Tojo versus Oga just balls out fighting in yep. front of the kids. Explosions and electricity and... Oh, it's going to be great.
So do you think this is the start of an arc or is it just like a one or
two? Oh, no, I think that this is going to be two, three chapters at most.
I'd say two chapters. We get, like, the fighting at the start and then wrapping up the next chapter.
I think I feel like Beelzebub being aimless is more fun than when they have a story.
I enjoy both.
I enjoy everything Beelzebub does. Someone on Platt mentioned it, but, like, I don't think I've ever read a bad chapter of Beel. It's consistently great.
I was surprised you guys didn't recognize last week that Hilda's pterodactyl thing.
Yeah, where's that from?
It was like the first chapter. It was like the very first thing Oga beat up.
That's why I don't remember it. Because it's from like 3 years ago.
It was like several months ago for me, so it's more fresh in my memory. So
it should be more fresh in my memory, but you know.
So the predictable route for this is going to be they get into a fight and Kudeta tries to stop them on stage while everyone tries to stay in character. But I don't know that it's going to be necessarily.
I think Oga is not going to understand the concept of being in character.
What I think is going to happen is Oga's going to win against Tojo, and then Beale's going to step up to fight the villain and protect Rice Boy. And so it's going to be Oga versus Beale.
I could see that.
You know, there's like a Disney Star Wars show where they bring a kid onto stage, and like Darth Vader asks them to swear fealty, and of course the kid says no and strikes down Vader. I remember seeing a video of, like, the kid agreeing and just, like, kneeling down in front of Vader.
I remember seeing that, yeah. Like, pledges his allegiance and yep. they don't know what to do.
That kid was smart.
Nah, yeah,
going on right
closest
now.
Closest thing to that when I... Sorry. the closest thing to that when I was a kid was at Universal Studios doing one of those they had the Star Trek set where they recorded the four different people in different roles filling in with the rest of the cast, and I got to be the captain, so I was, you know, sitting in the captain's chair and ordering everybody around.
Was it like the movie, you were just sitting there eating an apple and telling people to fire photon torpedoes?
No, it was Next Generation, although I did have, you know, the ordering, you know, attacks and that sort of stuff. But what was really funny was one of the people who was the assistants placed my dad in the wrong spot, and he was supposed to be punching a Klingon, and instead he was attacking a wall. Yeah, we still have this on a VHS tape back at my parents' place, so.
That sounds great.
Yeah. All right, so. Anyway, before we move on, my favorite joke from this chapter is couple number one, when Futaba was just referring to them as that.
I don't quite get that. Like,
they're the most popular couple in school, I think.
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't know. For some reason, I enjoyed that Furichi and Lamia tagged along for some reason. I don't know why I found that funny. Yes, together.
Well, like, Furichi was the one who understood it to be a date.
But then he brings Lamia.
Yeah. He's not helping his reputation.
No. This is why bad things happen.
But it's better than being lonely.
Oh, and also the callback of Futaba is around here somewhere. With the arrow
yes.
pointing down. The callback to Furichi when... That was on the beach or something, right? Last arc. Anyway.
I honestly can't remember much Furichi did last arc. Which is
really?
Probably intentional.
Yep. Fancy that.
Beelzebub. All right, so final thoughts.
Great.
Very entertaining.
So you guys should tell me about Sensei no Bulge? Bulge?
Bulge. Bulge. B-U-L-G-E.
Like Battle of the.
Oh. Maybe. More like Prince Bulge. That's the character.
All right.
Yeah.
So this
and
is the
attempting
new...
to do so without getting too spoilery, because this is the new, the third of the three new chapters that are series that started,
and seemingly the best. I've looked into the other two, and they're not anything we really need to be talking about.
That they didn't sound conceptually to fit with these ones. It'd be interesting to read the first chapters just to see what they're like, but nobody's bothering to scan them, which kind of says enough unto itself.
Well, one's just like a straight romance manga. The other's kind of a Bobobo, Gintama, gag, psychic powers manga. This one fits us to a T, though. It's a battle manga. So, a fairly well-drawn and interesting one at that.
So, do you want to just give, like, vague details?
So,
he wants to be king of the aliens.
Yes, this is a world that made contact with aliens, and then aliens kind of took over as the nobility, seemingly. So
other portions of it. It doesn't seem like they're in control of this country.
Yeah. Like, aliens have taken over the world, but in, like, a 1500s kind of way. Like, one's a duke or something, you know. They own cities. And you follow Astro, who's, like, a homeless kid that takes in orphans and does odd jobs to feed them. And through the course of the first chapter, he winds up somehow taking the place of Prince Bulge. Kind of a Prince and the Pauper kind of thing.
And pretty much exactly a Prince and the Pauper sort of thing.
Yeah, but with more arms getting blown off.
Well, yeah.
So,
and then
short, like,
stuff
bottom
happens
line.
From there.
Yes.
Battling happens from there.
So
magic
bottom
bracelet.
Line, it's interesting. Like, what would you compare it to?
Almost, for some reason I want to say Naruto, just because you kind of have this loser guy getting kind of roped into this stuff. I don't know, so far it's hard to get a grasp on where it's going to
go. Yeah, like, this might sound kind of weird because, I mean, it definitely is a shonen manga, but the stuff that it reminds me of is less Japanese and more like American cartoon tropes and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'd say Aladdin probably right off the bat. Just kind of the street rat winding up in the palace kind of thing.
All right, well, give it a look-see next week. Maybe we'll make it part of our main rotation.
We already have.
You know, you're welcome to read it if you want.
I tried to get you to, you know, I put the information out there and you just ignored it.
Yeah, kind of.
What it seems like this is going to be, though, is by the end of this first chapter, Astro, the main character, seems that he's decided that he wants to change the way the world works, you know, because it's unfair towards poor people. And that seems like that's going to be the theme of the manga.
All right. So. I mean, that's pretty basic shonen manga, battle manga stuff.
We'll talk more about it next week, I guess, when
yeah.
there's another chapter to kind of get more of a feel of the direction and more people have had a chance to read the first one.
But so far, you'd recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. For only being a first chapter, and if you go back and look at like first chapters of the other series that we enjoy, it is executed very well.
It's also drawn really well. A lot of stuff's kind of weird looking right off the bat. The character designs in this are great.
Has this guy done anything before?
I could look that up real quick.
Yeah, that's what I'm checking right now. It is...
Rikoshi's... Oh, he's done... Oh, man. This is a bit... this is a doozy. Omaga Doki Dobutsen... Something.
Yeah, so one other thing in 2010.
Yeah, it ran for... looks like about a year. No, it ran for a few months. No, a year. Yeah. Anyway, has done something before, so this isn't a newcomer. Yes.
Categories. Animals, clumsy protagonist, curse, Beauty and the Beast scenario. That sounds very weird.
Wait, it's a Beauty and the Beast type manga? And this one's kind of an Aladdin type manga?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Aoi Hana is a normal female high school student, though she is extremely clumsy and thus tagged as a good for nothing. She wants to change herself and decides that finding a part-time job would be the first step. Being an animal lover, joins the zoo, sounds like perfect place. Arrives at the zoo, everything's just fine. Might be going south, it's your regular animal park, until Hana gets to meet the zoo director, ...
I bet he's hot.
So, we'll talk about this next week, I guess. Since we can't really talk about details this week.
Because it's the first week that it's out, and you don't want to spoil it for people. So.
Right. Yeah. All right, so we'll move on to One Piece. And right off the bat, first page, we get the final From the Decks of the World cover.
Yes.
Which is...
Yes, and from what I understand, the text, which is over the bottom, is actually covering there is a third drink in front of Ace's grave, so some people are taking that as another hint that Sabo is not actually dead.
What's the third drink?
No, like, that what one was there, well, wasn't there a scene where somebody had gone to the grave and, like, done a toast sort of thing, and then there was another one, and one was for Luffy, one was for, I'm going to say Garp.
Ah, so someone
and then,
else
somebody thinks that that somebody else has visited and left a memento, which, you know, people are thinking, oh, that's Sabo.
Yeah, I've seen some people saying that there's been hints, or there's some hint in this. But...
Is there, like, a pretty... like, what does the nailed-on piece of paper in the gravestone mean? Because I've been trying to figure that out since I saw the cover, if it means anything at all.
Is that maybe an article about Luffy or something? Did Luffy stick the...
That was my first thought, but that seems weird, and it doesn't seem like something Oda would put here.
I mean, it's too small to glean anything off of it.
Yeah.
It's just scribbles, so...
It's got to be some, like... somewhat important somehow, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm sure it's Ace's bounty.
I'm sure we'll visit this place again at some point. The war gravesite.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be an important set piece later on, right?
I forget, who took their bodies?
Shanks.
Shanks.
Okay.
Dude goes all out on gravestones, apparently.
Apparently. The whole flag, the coats...
like, engraved, like, a nice little speech about them underneath it.
Well, he's one of the emperors. He can get away with it.
You think he's got people to do that for him?
Probably. Like, I'm sure you could hire that out. But yeah, okay, so this actual chapter is Luffy agreeing to Law's alliance suggestion without actually finding out who he wants to kill.
Well,
yes, and Luffy, well, not kill, I don't think. And the thing that's interesting is Luffy's reaction is kind of interesting because he seems happy about it. And given how he's one-dimensional, the only person he would be happy about seeing would be Shanks.
Right.
Yeah, and
Like, it clearly crossed Luffy's mind that the Emperor he's talking about is Shanks.
Law says who he's doing it, we just don't hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, because you see, like, the dots and his mouth moving and Luffy listening and Nami looking all freaked out. So, it's got to be Shanks, right? He wouldn't be this happy to take down Big Mom.
I don't know, he could be happy to take down Blackbeard.
If it was Blackbeard, he'd have a much different
He would just be pissed. Yeah, no, you would get a reaction if it was Blackbeard.
Yeah.
That's the guy who killed Ace. Or captured Ace. You know?
Well, it helped to kill Ace. If Blackbeard had not shown up there, they probably could have taken Ace out of there.
Blackbeard's done a lot of bad stuff to Luffy. Especially yes. His talk of crushing dreams and that kind of stuff. Or whatever.
But yeah, so I just didn't realize that he had actually said it. We just couldn't hear it.
Well, that's hard to get across in manga.
Yeah. It looked just like straight ellipses to me, but I guess it's tiny lines.
It's just supposed to be like the camera pulls back and you don't hear them talking.
Yeah.
So if it is, like, if it's Shanks, then Luffy intends to betray Law? Or just he isn't thinking past, hey, I get to see Shanks?
I think it would be that if it is Shanks. Now,
I mean, it still could be Big Mom. I mean,
yeah, I'm honestly still leaning in the camp that it is Big Mom. It just seems to be pointing in that direction, but I'm much less certain at this point than I was at the end of last chapter.
It's one of those two. I don't think it's Kaido or Blackbeard.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, the only person Kaido's had a relationship with is... crap, what was his name? Moria. There he is.
Yeah. Because Kaido killed his crew or something, right?
Yeah, Kaido wiped out his entire crew, which is when he went insane.
Which is the only place we know Kaido's name from.
Right, and they haven't even shown a picture of him yet. It just, I think it's
silhouette,
all...
Yeah.
For the most part, we know the relationship of everyone else. Like, who all the other emperors know.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I agree, it's probably Shanks. Nothing else would explain that reaction.
Definitely one of those two. I'm leaning Shanks.
Yeah. I will be the odd man out and continue claiming that it's Big Mom.
Big Mom would make sense.
Either one's going to be pretty awesome, though. Luffy Law team up.
And then the rest of the chapter was just awesome. It was Law going, I've made a huge mistake.
Yes. Law's slow realization at what he's on, like, what genie he let out of the bottle.
Well, he knows they're powerful, but he didn't know that they were, like, eccentric characters. Oh, yeah.
So, Law switches all their bodies back, except for Nami, who gets stuck in Sanji's body.
Yeah. Which looks kind of weird. Her eyes on his face is just weird.
Yeah. And then they attach Chopper to Law's sword like a cell phone strap.
Well, first they tie him to his head, which was Law's reaction to that of just utter disbelief at what they were doing.
And before that, Robin going, good, Frankie, now never go back into Chopper's body, ever.
Yeah, Robin's been delightful lately. Just totally unfazed by everything.
And so we learned that the giant children are the result of a government project.
Yeah, to, like, manufacture giants.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which and I feel is, like, probably a step in the monstrous direction for them.
Well, literally, yeah.
And also, you know, figuratively.
We also learn a little bit of Law's plan is what he wants to take C2 captive.
Like, yeah.
And for some reason.
Don't know the details of why, just wants him captured.
Well, I mean, it's part of his Emperor plan.
Well, yeah, obviously, but how that's going to play into it is kind of a big question mark. I mean, they even ask why, and he's kind of like, yeah, don't worry about it until we're done.
And we also learn that Zoro and Sanji can use haki.
I like that they, like, actually sat down and talked about this and explained the most obvious ways that it could work. Well, like, that's a thing that very few manga actually does.
Yeah, like they did a few chapters ago once they all met up again. And it's like, okay, let's trade information and figure out what we know. Instead of
we have this power, ergo us three should be involved. Like, Naruto would pretty much never do that.
They just say, hey, how's it going? Okay, let's all split up and go fight.
Yeah. It's like, this guy's gonna... entire power is based around shadows. Shikamaru, you stay here. The rest of us will go.
Oh no, he's got shadows. Ah.
Why didn't we think this through?
The
then
the
we cut to Smoker's crew.
And they've discovered fighting. All the ex-cons on the island.
Yeah, I guess we get, like, actual confirmation that these are criminals.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of assumed it from the striped jumpsuits and Blackbeard, but... Or Brownbeard, rather.
So they agreed, or Luffy's crew agreed with Law to solve everything on the island before they leave.
Yeah.
I think Law just wanted to capture Crown and get out of there.
Yeah, and he's beholden to Luffy now that Luffy doesn't want to just leave this place the way it is. They want to save the kids and fix it.
Well, they have an alliance now, which, as Usopp explained, alliance to Luffy means they're friends. Therefore, they have to do everything the other one asks.
The thing that I liked most is, who was it? Nami saying that Law could betray them.
And Robin.
Luffy asked, Robin, yeah, and Luffy just asked Law, are you going to betray us? No. Okay. That was good enough for Luffy.
I don't think he's going to betray them unless, like, their goals differ from his greatly.
I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to succeed in toppling, well, unless it's Shanks, but I was going to say succeed in toppling the Emperor if it's Big Mom. Law will then turn and say, all right, and now we fight to see who takes her place, sort of thing. And Luffy's like, nah, you can have it. I'm going to go after Roftel or whatever. Just leaves it to him, sort of thing.
Luffy becoming an emperor would be pretty cool.
That'd be a weird thing to do now.
That'd be a weird thing for him to do as a character.
You think?
Since he's all about the exploration and freedom and that sort of stuff, not about conquering islands.
No, but he wants to be king of the pirates. And the emperor is one step down from the king of the pirates.
If he installed Law as emperor, but everyone knew that it was really Luffy's doing, that would be more of a One Piece type thing.
You want Law to be a puppet emperor?
Not a puppet emperor, but the reputation is that Luffy was the one who defeated the so-and-so. You guys have heard the theory before that Shanks is actually evil, right?
Yes, I've...
Yeah.
He's way too nice. He's got to be evil.
Like, he has some long con going throughout the series.
Of being, like, the kind one that nobody crosses.
But he's had a couple situations where he's been like, you know, I have my own plans. Let's just not interfere with each other. They never actually explain what those plans are.
Yeah, I totally think I've always thought Shanks was evil. Just because he's way too nice. That's not interesting.
Turns out that he was the one who actually made Roger sick back in the day.
Poisoned him.
I'm trying to think, like, what possible situation could arise that Luffy would want to hurt Shanks?
We find out that Shanks and Blackbeard are working together and they plan to kill Ace and Whitebeard.
I mean, that could happen, but that would be, like, an insane retcon.
Would it?
Yes. Because he talked with Whitebeard before he went in, or before the war started.
Yeah, he's playing all the sides.
I think there's a reasonable chance that they're trying to take down Shanks. And either Luffy doesn't care, or Luffy wants to take down Shanks for some other reason. Maybe to just prove he's stronger now?
Well, yeah, Shanks is a rival pirate.
And more importantly, he's like the bar to which Luffy measured himself. Because he always believed Ace is stronger than him.
He might actually want to fight Shanks just to see where he stands now.
Just to measure himself up. I can see that. That's the theory I'm going with now. That he's excited to just fight Shanks.
We failed to actually mention what happens at the end of this chapter. The reveal of...
the clown slime.
Death. Yes, the slime. Because on an island with dragons, harpies, and centaurs, you need the most common RPG villain, a slime.
I don't think that's unintentional.
Yeah, this is totally like Dragon Quest Island.
Yeah. this is kind of, you know... If there's a bull creature at some point, then it's pretty much confirmed.
Yeah. What else are we going to need? Like, a wizard and... Or some other bats, I guess.
So I'm guessing, just looking at the slime thing, it's probably poison?
Lava, maybe?
Yeah, since it's on the heat island, I'm going to go with lava.
Mm.
But I don't know, it kind of like sucks those guys dry. Like, it seems to... Because it touches that one guy, and then he's like choking to death.
I'm guessing this is one of those situations where Law can't hurt it, but anything with Haki can.
So who do you think's going to fight it?
I actually thought, because it was the whole dissociated thing, it was going to end up being Law who has to fight that.
You know what's going to be great, though, is if Law cuts it in half and then it's just two smaller slimes. And then that's the twist on the fight, is he's just more and more enemies as he keeps fighting it.
Yeah. But before that, what's going to end up happening is Law is going to come across Zoro, Sanji, and Brook carrying Chopper on his sword, and they're going to attack him.
Chopper does kind of look kidnapped.
Yeah, that's what's going to end up happening. They're going to come across Law, and they're going to attack him because they'll think he kidnapped Chopper.
They've been face down in the snow for a while now.
Oh, they're probably fine.
Well, Brook's
they're up
fine.
And about and moving. We just don't see it.
I love Chopper's determined look hanging from the sword. Just, like, he's ready for action.
Well, he can't do anything because Franky got him injured.
All his bones are broken because Luffy beat him up.
Alright, so final thoughts on One Piece?
Again, just a great chapter.
Good plot chapter.
I like where it's going with, the Emperor and kidnapping Caesar Clown being the goal and all that stuff.
Once more, I think it's very much paralleling Little Island in that, like, it's setting up the larger arc that'll span multiple islands.
I mean, if they're going to kidnap Clown, he could become a running character off this island. Like, he could be part of a larger story instead of just this island's main bad guy.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys know how One Piece was interesting and had exciting stuff happen?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know the exact opposite of that?
What's that?
Talking.
This week's Naruto. This was the most
the
boring
The return
chapter.
Of diagrams to explaining things.
I don't see how the explanation really benefited anything either. I perfectly understood Genjutsu loop. That was fine. I didn't need anything beyond that.
Here's my question. Why does anyone care? Like, why is Sasuke's first thought of like, oh, how did you do this to Kabuto? My first thought would be like, oh, great, he's taken care of.
And yet...
Sasuke wants to be able to use that iHack power.
Probably. So, I loved the revelation that Uchiha wars were just them, like, staring at each other. And that, like, Izanami was created as a rule, like a tiebreaker or something.
And Izanagi was just, like, a path of... split paths. It's stupid. Who cares? Basically, this manga didn't start until like 7 or 8 pages in.
Yeah. When Itachi reveals that he's trying to make Kabuto realize that he should stop trying to be other people, which, again, why? Why does he care?
You have him in the loop. You don't really need to do anything else right now.
But why does he want to save Kabuto?
He explains it as... Kabuto reminds him of how he used to be.
No! Kabuto's way worse! He's mainlining people into his body. That's not exactly the same as just, like, sacrificing yourself.
It's Big Nose Itachi.
Damn it.
But yeah, so Kabuto is still stuck in there, but he's aware of the loop. And Itachi essentially telling him how to get out of it, but he's not listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense, because you want to tell the villain how to escape from the thing you've trapped him in so that he can, suddenly start attacking you again.
Like, nothing about Kabuto realizing who he is will change his motivation of wanting to rule the world. Or maybe it will, I don't even know at this point.
Does he even want to rule the world?
Isn't that kind of the point of this ninja war?
I don't know. I thought he just joined because he's evil and wants Sasuke.
Yeah, that's what I took from it, too, is that was his deal with Madara, was he got Sasuke at the end. So I think he just wants Sharingan.
That'd be funny if Itachi just gave it to him. Like, there. Happy?
Well, he says that he just wants someone to notice him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And we found out that it's 9 o'clock.
Yes. It's already 9 p.m. I don't know if that means this war has only been going on for a day or something.
So on page 13, like, that top left panel, is that the Chunin exam? Because it's Kakashi, and that looks like the tree that was in the arena.
Oh, right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kakashi and oh, what's his name? It starts with a G. Gecko and Guy.
Why are they there? Why? What is Kabuto remembering? Because he wasn't fighting during the invasion.
Yeah, no, that is when I think the sand was attacking.
Right, he wasn't fighting during that, was he?
Was it? I thought he fought Kabuto or Kakashi at some point.
Oh, maybe he did.
Yeah, he fought Kakashi, but it was inside of the Hokage's office, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, you're right, because he was disguised and like Kakashi thought he killed him, but it turned out to just be a fake corpse.
Yeah.
But I thought he attacked again during the actual war.
Maybe he did, yeah.
I mean, he's got to have if they're bringing that up.
Yeah.
They wouldn't pull a panel on accident.
I don't know.
It also reminds me of when I thought Kabuto looked the coolest, was when he had, like, the half Orochimaru face.
Until he just went snakes dumb?
Yeah, snakes dumb.
Yeah. So, they continue on from this point, with Kabuto still being stuck in a loop, and Itachi still trying to convince him. Then the weirdest cutaway happens. Where, like,
when we find out that it's 9 o'clock.
When he tells us it's 9 o'clock. And apparently the orphans Kabuto is with joined Konoha, I guess, of their own volition.
Yeah, and...
And they start talking about Kabuto as if he was not missing for the last 15 years.
Well, it's their brother's on a mission and has a really big nose now.
Yeah, they... I guess it was just one of the kids from the orphanage.
Yeah, Urushi, the one that picked on him. So, is this a continuity error, or shouldn't they be wearing shinobi headbands, not leaf headbands?
What do you mean?
Like,
That's right. All of them are wearing the unified headbands.
Yeah, the ones that just say shinobi on them.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy. That is a continuity error.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember, there are no more villages. There's just the unified ninja army.
For the duration of this battle.
Yeah.
Like, the last thing he says is, I really hope you come back this time, Kabuto. So has Kabuto been keeping in contact with them?
Well, remember they were sending the pictures of Big Nose Kabuto?
Oh.
But mom. I don't think that they were actually sending them to him.
Yeah, but... I think it's over by now. I don't know, this feels like one of those things where, like, they thought it would be a poignant moment.
Well, it's just to show that there is something for Kabuto to go back to. Like, he...
He can totally be redeemed.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what they're showing, is that he's not beyond help, and there is something waiting for him if he can be saved. It's, you know, it's a nice moment kind of thing.
So the issue finishes off with Itachi saying that now he's going to stop the Ito Tensei.
Not first. Now he's going to do it.
Yeah. Lots of people are dying still, but whatever. It's time now.
Who cares about the actual Madara being revived, you know?
So, well, like, why was he trying to let Kabuto get out of the thing before?
He must just... I don't know. Something.
He just gave up with him. Gave up on him, you know?
Well, he can still probably get out of it. Itachi might have some other way to end it. I totally thought you were right last week that he was going to force Kabuto to release it to kill Itachi and get out of the loop, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah.
Sigh.
I don't know.
And maybe it would have made so much sense, too.
It would. That would have been a good plan. Good plans don't happen anymore. Next week should be okay.
Hopefully, I mean... I can't imagine a way that he's going to end the Ito Tensei that will be satisfying to any possible result.
Oh, it's just going to be something I hacks, now I can control his body and release it, something.
And Sasuke asking a question and being like, nah, don't have time, crumbling.
Go see Naruto.
And, yeah.
The end.
So at what point do Jugetsu, or Suigetsu and Jugo... Actually, I'm going to stick with Jugetsu, because that's a much simpler...
Is that their, like, dating name?
Their celebrity couple name.
Yes.
Yes, that's their ship name.
You're a part of the Jugetsu fandom?
So at what point do they come crashing in and explaining whatever that scroll was?
Probably just after Itachi's dead.
Yeah.
And so that Sasuke can wildly misinterpret it. And...
you know what you want to say.
I wonder if it's not going to be like something about who Kabuto really is or something. If it has nothing to do with the jutsu. And that'll be what gets him out of the loop.
The Journal of Big Nose Kabuto.
Nah, it's going to be his way to turn into Sage Mode.
It'll turn out he was Big Nose Kabuto all along.
Nose jutsu.
He's just been stuck in like a disguised jutsu his entire life.
That actually would have been a decent, like, you know, if they were going to do something, having Kabuto constantly be in a specific jutsu that is not him would have been more psychologically damaging than whatever they did.
Of just convincing everyone that he looked different.
Yeah. Because that I could see that seriously messing someone up. And it would like kind of... It would be a good look into the fact that ninjas have no identity. And Naruto is pretty much the only one that does. But no, Big Nose.
There's a lot of ways this could have gone better, but... It still has time to go pretty good.
I don't know. This pretty seems like a conclusive end to this fight.
Yeah, but what I mean is that it'll get good again when it gets back to Naruto.
Oh, that's true. So this will pretty much be the start of the dominoes falling.
Yeah, because they'll finish off Kabuto and the Edo Tensei, then they can finish off Madara, then they can get back to Naruto.
Yeah.
I'm still placing money that ending the Edo Tensei is not going to just kill all the zombies. It's just going to disable them being able to be revived. So they'll still have to actually defeat Madara.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I could appreciate that.
That's the more interesting way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Because then we get another fight out of it.
Yeah, that would be more interesting than everyone just crumbling at once.
Yeah.
Because at that point, the war is essentially over.
Yeah.
All right, so any last thoughts on Naruto?
I can't wait for the Big Nose Kabuto jokes to end.
They'll never end. Let's face it, Big Nose Kabuto is
let's
pretty
be honest,
much the best thing.
It ended weeks ago. We've just kind of been driving it into the ground.
It's our meme now.
But it's so funny.
It is really funny is the thing.
Any more thoughts, manga in general?
Read Sensei no Balj.
Me or to anyone?
Both.
Okay. So I watched Dragon Ball Evolution last week.
Why?
Because was there alcohol involved?
No, but I had a riff tracks for it.
So?
And Team 4 Star, the DBZ abridged guys, were doing the riff tracks.
Okay, now that's pretty good.
I can't tell if that movie is self-aware or not.
No.
Like, there's a point where Goku is on top of a car dodging punches, and he, like, flips on his head and slides across the car on his hair gel. And it's like, this has to be self-aware, because nobody directed this and intended for that to be serious.
So you have too much faith in humanity is the thing?
Nobody directed this and intended it to be serious. Also, Chow Yun
have serious movies that have jokes in them.
Chow Yun Fat is in the movie, and they wasted. He plays Master Roshi, and they use their big wish at the end to bring him back to life. Because he gave up his life trying to imprison Piccolo in a jar. Yeah. Also, of all the things wrong with the movie, the worst thing that possible that they did is Yamcha wins a fight.
Okay, now that I take issue with, because Yamcha did win his first fight. He beat Goku the first time they met.
No, he didn't. He ran away.
Did he? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Goku was hungry, and he saw Bulma, and then he ran away. Yamcha has never won a fight.
Hang on.
He gets he gets up there in the Budokai, but you never actually see him win the preliminary fights.
What about the Baba stuff, where they're trying to get the orb?
Didn't he lose?
Did he? Wasn't he fighting the invisible guy, or was that Krillin?
I can't remember. I think Krillin showed the invisible guy Bulma's panties.
Yes, panties.
And sure. Then, like, Yamcha drenched him in blood.
No, wait, that's right. Roshi was fighting because his nose bled.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
That's the whole point.
So Yamcha's never won a fight. And
you're right.
He went it against
According to Yahoo Answers, so you can take this how you will. Off the top of my head, I know he won a fight in Baba's tournament against an invisible guy in Dragon Ball.
Okay.
So that I don't remember that from the manga, so I think that was filler. But you can say he's won in filler.
So he's won in, like, alternate universe stuff.
He won against Mai, who, for some reason, is Piccolo's assistant slash a ninja master.
And a shapeshifter.
Yes, and a shapeshifter.
Not just a regular lady, like the source material says.
Because she steals Chi-Chi's blood and shapeshifts into her. Yeah.
So,
watch the movie.
True or false, they call Goku Giku.
They do call him Goku.
But
as far as I can tell. Oh, wait, no. The bullies at school call him Giku.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst. I mean, the guy's name is Goku. You don't really have to dork it up.
They try to, lampshade every one of the Dragon Ball names. Like, making fun of Chi-Chi's name. Yeah.
Also, what do they call her?
No, they just like, Chi-Chi, I've heard worse names than that. And then there's just a long, awkward silence. Also, the Ox King is a used car salesman, or kingpin.
Does he call himself the Ox King?
You never see him. They just offhandedly mention it.
They should have had him, in full costume selling cars. See, I think I would have liked that movie better if it's what you thought it was, and it wasn't self-aware, and just, making fun of Dragon Ball. But that movie was made
to... It was trying to play, two sides of the fence, and it was just awful all the way through. But yeah, you guys should watch Dragon Ball Evolution if you can get the Team 4-star riff tracks.
I don't think anyone should, even under those conditions.
There is a line where they specifically call out the title of the movie. Because it's just that badly written.
Do they say Dragon Ball Evolution?
Yeah, it's Goku says Bulma should configure her Dragon Ball thing to look for Dragon Ball Energy. She's like, Dragon Ball Energy. DBE. I like that. No.
Oh, God.
And on that note, I figure we should call this to a close.
Guys, I think we should have called it to a close about 5 minutes ago. Thank you very much.
I hate you, and I hate that you're back. I would rather edit this podcast than listen to that.
Thank you for coming to this Dragon Ball Evolution podcast.
Up yours.
This has been your Thursday, March 24th Jumpcast. Thanks for coming. We'll see you guys next week.
Maybe not.
You guys did a good job last week, though I realized once I hit play on that podcast that I let Keo choose the music. I was like, oh god, this is an awful idea. And it was.
The stinger that I decided not to use was one about us discussing music, and I say at some point that I wanted to just take a dump and use all the best music, like all the good One Piece openings and all the good Naruto openings, just burn every bridge with music. But the Rurouni Kenshin opening is good. That was the good one. The ending one was the bad one.
So you chose the most annoying version possible for that.
What, the Kenshin?
Yeah.
No, I like the English one.
I'm not fond of that opening.
They sound
whatever.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, I know. I'm not fond of the original either.